A number of years ago, Wayne Muller, no relationship to the other Muller that I know of, he was a very successful psychotherapist. He had a thriving practice in Santa Fe. He was an author. He traveled as an in-demand conference and event speaker. He ran an organization called Bread for the Journey. He was chaplain at a local AIDS clinic, and he was trying to be a good husband and father. The next thing he knew, he was flat on his back in the hospital, hooked up to various devices and tubes, receiving oxygen and intravenous antibiotics. Wayne had had a total system failure in his body, racked with a systemic infection, and it was the kind of infection that has claimed many lives. People would come to see him. They would visit, they would bring their well wishes and their prayers, but after each visit, he would fall immediately to sleep. He had no energy. He could barely move. He did survive. And in the long road back to health, he learned a lot about why he had ended up in this place where his life had been threatened. It was because he knew nothing about rest, about balance in his life between activity and ceasing from it. He thought he did, but what he knew, he didn't put into action. In other words, he didn't cease his work, ever. He even had a saying from Brother David Steindl-Rast on his bulletin board that says this: life is like breath. We must be able to live in an easy rhythm between give and take. And if we cannot learn to live and breathe in this rhythm, we will place ourselves in grave danger. Wayne Muller came to understand that he had placed himself in this danger because his life was not being lived in rhythm. Out of his discovery came a book that's helped me immensely and many others to contemplate the changes that are necessary to find the healthy rhythms between work and rest. And he simply called his book Sabbath. You know, many people are now recovering the concept of Sabbath. But I have to say, it has a long way to go, right? Our workaholism, that's now labeled workism as a religion. I mean, The Atlantic just had an article where they called it the gospel of work. Our push for significance, our labor landscape that demands more and more time and effort. Bricks without straw, many employees would say. Our almost insatiable hunger for money and things, or just the desire to do good work in the world. All those things make Sabbath the orphaned stepchild of the Ten Commandments. The one that so many Christians think is now optional, like eating shellfish. A remnant of a law that's no longer present, replaced by something they just can't quite remember what that is. In our passages today, Jesus heals on the Sabbath, doesn't he? And he has some things to say about it. Isaiah prophesies to exiled Israel that God will hear their prayers and honor their fasts if only they would remember the joy of the Sabbath and also to remember to care for the poor, the second thing flowing from the first, I think. And our psalm speaks to the character of God that we celebrate in Sabbath, God's mercy, compassion, redemption, healing, forgiveness, and so on. The good things in life. And the book of Hebrews, from which we've had several Sundays of lessons, says in chapter 4 that true Sabbath rest is fulfilled in Jesus. This is the rest that God had promised that had not been able to be entered into fully until Jesus came as our priest. And we are to desire to enter that rest, that complete Sabbath rest. In the early pages of Genesis, we're told that God rested after the creation of the world. So when he declares his covenant with his people, following their release from captivity, this rest is recalled in the commandment that's given. They were to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, to honor the Lord's resting after creation by resting themselves. Not only that, but everyone in their household was not to work, including the animals. This was a total cessation of labor. something very unique. It was a main identifier of Israel in its covenant relationship with God. No other nation had this. You're to rest. You're to rest. When resting, they would remember who made the world and rested. And they would remember that they belonged to Him and that they enjoyed the blessing of that relationship. Sabbath was rest. It was also worship. It was joy. It was renewal and restoration. It was identity. It's who they were. And it's been true down through history that wherever the Jews find themselves, Sabbath has enabled them to keep their spiritual ground. If you know anything about the Jewish culture, when the candle is lit, as the sun is going down at the beginning of Shabbat, that is holy time, but it's also holy place. It's said that it's not Israel that kept the Sabbath, but the Sabbath that kept Israel. So what happened to this good and beautiful thing? Well, it needed to be protected, didn't it? Enforced, because breaking it meant breaking covenant. So over time, laws built up around the Sabbath to fence it in, to make sure that it was honored and that it was given pride of place and that no one did any work on that day. But it's clear Jesus thought that they had missed the whole point of Sabbath. And a number of his healings take place on the Sabbath day, as this one here does in Luke chapter 13. I think Jesus is making the case, because none of the diseases were immediately life-threatening that he healed on the Sabbath. A man with a withered hand, a man with dropsy, the man who'd been infirm for 38 years, certainly he could wait a day. The man born blind, and our episode today of the healing of the woman in Luke 13, who was stooped over. He could have told all of them, as the synagogue leader had insisted he do, to come back tomorrow. But he does not. He heals without any delay or any hesitation, because he knows that Sabbath is about the deeper rest. It's about celebrating God's life and goodness. It's about the joy that we know in our relationship with the Father, and so he heals. He never says the Sabbath should be set aside or ignored. In fact, it was his habit to be in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. In other words, he remembered and he kept the Sabbath. And Paul says we're not to get into disputes about Sabbath days and so on. So I don't want to kind of go there this morning. I just want us to lean in a little bit to the concept of Sabbath. And where we touch it, where it touches us. Because Jesus knew what the Sabbath meant. It was about being set free. It was about being released from bondage into the joy of the fellowship with God. Sabbath keeping was not a dull and dreary obligation. It was a spiritual practice full of life and hope and liberty. When the Israelites received the command that they are to rest one day a week, remember, they had been slaves for 400 years. They were forced to work 7 days a week, generation after generation after generation. So when God leads them out of Egypt and establishes his covenant with them at Sinai, he's saying to them, you are no longer slaves. You are now free. You are my people. I will provide what you need, and you will rest. You will rest. Sadly, they forgot this time and again, and they failed to keep Sabbath. And with it, they failed to remember who they were, that they were not slaves, but were the Lord's. By the way, when we also fail to rest and to remember, when we fail to cease from labor and celebrate God's goodness, when we fail to enter Sabbath rest, we can forget who we are and whose we are. When we fail to pursue godly rest as part of the rhythm of our life, we become slaves again. Slaves to work, slaves to money, to possessions, to the idea that we're the ones who provide the things we enjoy. We become slaves to this and other motivations. And some of us are out of control in this area. I can say that because there have been times in my life where I was. In fact, some of us are so out of control that we would actually welcome a medical event so serious that that would allow us to break the pattern, because we feel trapped by our own habits or by the expectations of others and powerless to make a move toward holy rest. And we think, man, if we, you know, I would welcome that, because then it's a reason, right? This is why the scriptures say remember and observe, because it's too easy to forget and ignore. Sabbath is a day, but it's also a posture. It's a pattern. It's a way of approaching life that honors the place of rest, and in that rest, to worship and celebrate God's goodness and freedom. Not to be pulled back into legalism, because we might practice rest very differently from one another. But the principle is important, vital, life-giving. Keeping Sabbath is about ceasing work and resting. But it's also about embracing and feasting. We might say this, though: I'm doing good things, and there is so much need in the world. My work is really important. And to rest just keeps me from getting on with the important activity that's part of God's work. We can be tempted to think that in the church. We can be tempted to think that in social service work that we do. You know, anything that we can point to the good of it, the common good of it, even the sacramental good of it. I pastored for a number of years in Colorado Springs. You probably know that. And I planted a church with a guy by the name of Ken Ross, who is now our bishop. Colorado Springs, when Susan said, we were living in Georgia at the time, she said, what would you think about moving to Colorado Springs? I said, no, absolutely not. She said, why not? I said, too many Christians. And, you know, it was hard. I mean, it was great, but it was hard. You know, we'd see bumper stickers that said, Lord, save me from your people. And, you know, things like that. It was the Christian Mecca of the West. It sort of took that from Wheaton, right? It used to be like the Mecca, right? And there are so many Christian organizations that are headquartered there. And all of them, most of them, doing great work, or at least important work, really important, saving families, lifting children out of poverty around the world, evangelizing, guiding youth, publishing the Bible and other important materials for Christian discipleship. You're probably thinking, some of you are thinking names, you know what I'm talking about. And these are organizations that you would know, and I think probably revere, and you should revere them. We should revere them. But their employees, some of them anyway, would show up at church, and you could see it in their eyes. They were totally empty. They were exhausted. They were burned out. They were fatigued by all their doing good, all the good that they were doing. And mostly because for so many, they had never been told that they could rest or that they should rest. The corporate culture in many of these places, I'm not saying all of them, but many of them did not make room for Sabbath. And there was a sense that kind of if you needed Sabbath, maybe you really couldn't cut it. Maybe you shouldn't be there if you need Sabbath. Because we're saving the world. And these folks who would come into our new church and community that we were planting, they would discover the healing arc of liturgical rhythm. They discovered that there could be such a thing as silence in church. They were given freedom just to be. They were released from legalistic obligation. They were set free to know the joy and the mercy of the Lord. And they found healing. They were healed on the Sabbath, actually, and through the Sabbath. Now, a lot of you know what I'm talking about because you've experienced it, or you're in the midst of experiencing it. But it can still be a challenge to live that out in a world that doesn't recognize rest, even among those who are doing very important and godly work, and needed work. I mean, this is really what Isaiah's word to Israel is here, isn't it? You want to be in right relationship with God. You want your prayers to be answered. You desire that. They can be, and they will be, but you must remember the Sabbath that you're breaking. You have to stop doing what you want on my holy day. If you find delight in the Sabbath, if you honor the Lord's day, then you will find your joy in the Lord. You'll care for the poor. You will satisfy the needs of the oppressed. You will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will be called a repairer of broken walls. If you do those things and remember the Sabbath, then I will cause you to ride in triumph and feast on the inheritance of Jacob. And I think there's a relationship between the Sabbath keeping and the doing of the work that Israel needed to do to care for the poor and to rebuild the broken places. Thomas Merton had a word on this, and he said this. He said, there is a pervasive form of contemporary violence, activism, and overwork. The rush and pressure of modern life are a form, perhaps the most common form, of its innate violence. The frenzy of our activism neutralizes our work for peace. It destroys our own inner capacity for peace. It destroys the fruitfulness of our own work because it kills the root of inner wisdom which makes work fruitful. In other words, our good works, even the focused efforts that we engage in for the kingdom of God, are not separate from our observance of Sabbath rest. In fact, they flow from it. Our effectiveness, our faithfulness flows from rest, not activity from more activity, activity from rest. The world is so broken. We're troubled. I'm troubled. There's days I've stopped actually looking at the news first thing in the morning. That's what I always did for years. I was a journalist and news director for radio stations for 15 years, and that's what I've stopped doing that on certain days, especially Sunday. So I know there are things need to be done. But the work that we're called to must come from Sabbath. It must come from us honoring that place of rest that God has given to us to keep. It's why we have said here at Redeemer that, at least from the very beginning of my time, that the things that we'll engage in, the ministries that we'll do, will flow from our corporate worship and be related to it. In other words, worship isn't just a program of the church, it's the heart of it. And I know I'm kind of conflating worship and Sabbath a little bit. We don't have to do that, but just for the sake of time this morning, I am treating worship as part of Sabbath rest. That the things that we'll do are spring from that, spring from our worship, spring from that rest that we do together in this place. And we'll do the work of ministry that God has shown us to do when we're gathered in the sacramental life. That's one of the things that we're doing in Highwood is that we're building a place for rest. Nothing personal here, but this room does not call me to rest. Does it you? When we came here, there were a couple of people said, I'm not sure I can worship here because I've worked in here and I've taken exams in this room. Boy, that got a response. I can assure you, and it's important, it's not just for us, it's for the community, that what the Lord is leading us to build is a place of rest. Yes, a place of worship, but it will call us to rest. I know, because I just sometimes sit in there. I do, because it has that draw. It has that draw. Now, there's so much more to be said about Sabbath. I just sort of, you know, poked it enough to make it dangerous. And I would recommend several books, and I actually brought them just for show and tell. This is the book by Wayne Muller called Sabbath. Now, he's a Christian. He's a Christian chaplain and therapist, but he includes other religious traditions in there you need to know. I'm just saying up front to you. But I remember when I got this book, I was at a meeting, a board meeting of the Anglican Mission in America. and we were starting some new thing and working hard. We were working hard. We were killing ourselves. And one of the guys that we invited to kind of make a presentation came, and he gave everybody, we were in Atlanta, and he gave everybody a copy of this book. And there were like 12 of us. And we're like, what's this about? He's like, you are killing yourselves. And God's not going to bless it. Read the book. And then call me. He was a therapist. And I entered into it, and I have to say, it's been very helpful. So I commend this. Also, the book by Marva Dawn, entitled Keeping Sabbath Holy, Wholly. And then this little book by Lynn Babb, Sabbath Keeping. So, that, you know, it can get us started. So a few questions to end, just practical questions. Where do you find rest and Sabbath in your life? Where do I find it in mine? Do you observe a day that's not like any other day? Do you have a day where there's no to-do list? I mean, maybe every day you don't have a to-do list. That's okay. The tyranny of the urgent that comes along, right, to lead us. But for some of you who do to-do lists, is there a day when you don't have one? Do your children know that Sabbath, the concept of Sabbath, this specialness of either day or time or season, however you want to look at that, do your children, our children here, understand that this is vital? Do you have practices in your own family that teach and underscore this? I'm not saying legalistic ways. I'm not trying to lay out a list of things. You can figure that out. You can work it out. We can talk more together about it. But do they understand that there is a day that nevertheless is intentional and exclusive? In other words, Sunday is not like another Saturday. They're not interchangeable. Now, maybe your Sabbath is another day and not Sunday, and that can happen if you're working Sundays. I was really schooled in this by my family. I think some of you were too. We didn't have a choice about Sabbath keeping. We were not given a choice. How do you feel today, Jay? Get to church. Get going. You know, get up. You know, it's just, there are just some things you got to do, right? And if you're taught that young, though, you will keep with it. I think, not everybody, but really, there's patterns now. I was taught to be in church on the Lord's Day and to give, to tithe. And those are harder to teach later. Just saying. Now, there were some things I learned with that I haven't kept and that I still fight. One of the things was I could never mow the grass on Sunday. Could you, Scott? Were you allowed to do that? Okay, so. Now, I don't feel that, but I still had to get the grass mowed. I mean, it was like, you figure out a day, Jay, but it ain't Sunday. And you know what? I don't feel that way anymore, but I still can't mow the grass on Sundays. I don't think it's wrong. I just can't do it. But you know what? Sabbath, and we called it the Lord's Day, and I'm not saying they're exactly the same thing, but okay, you're with me. It was a time to celebrate. We didn't sit around staring at each other. Right? Yeah, we were in church, but man, we visited people. People visited us. We had great feasts, family dinners. We did watch football. You were allowed to do that. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. I knew what the Lord's Day was. I knew how it was to be kept. Are you longing for true rest in your life? Does this word feel like just another obligation to you? I hope not. It's an invitation to a place of joy, of health. Do you have some decisions you might need to make? That could be hard, but would open your life to rest and to freedom. And you might say, you know, I work in a place where I'm not given any, I mean, they're cutting people and I'm just having to work twice as hard. That's the world today. I get that. And we'll pray for places of rest. Maybe it's an hour of Sabbath. Maybe it's an afternoon of Sabbath. I've taught this in Rwanda to pastors. And you have to kind of consider the cultural differences, but I've said, you must have a Sabbath. And they all smile and they nod their heads. And then I say, and it can't be Sunday. And then they get that terrified look in their life. And they look at the bishop if he's in the room. Because they know that they have no freedom. I mean, and in terms of an extra day, that culture is very much work every day. So we've had to talk a lot about this. That's why when Bishop Sam was here, he wanted everybody to know he plays golf, right? He took up golf. It's part of his Sabbath observance now. And he really wasn't observing it that much before. So it's good. I'm grateful. We all need to grow in this. Let us remember that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the giver of rest. He's the giver of freedom. He is here today. He is not saying to us, come back tomorrow. He's here to heal us and to restore us today if we'll enter his rest. Lord, draw us to your rest. Help us to cast aside the many distractions, the things that we have to do, feel we have to do, and the time that we don't have. Help us to say no where we can. And give us just space. Give us the space to rest. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.